You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
We go to the scripture reading. It's in 1 Corinthians today, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 8. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you here this morning. And I hope that we all get a blessing from the scriptures as we open the Bible and read. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this opportunity to open the scriptures here, meet together. And we pray, Lord, for each person that is not here for whatever reason. We think of those who are unwell, Lord, that you would put your healing hand upon them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm still recovering from this tremendous loss that the football team at Christian Heritage suffered at the hands of Davis. And man, I thought I saw enthusiasm, but nothing like what I saw at Davis, where virtually the whole town turned up for the game. And I came slightly late, and what happened was I couldn't find a parking anywhere, so I virtually had to park in the town, and there was just everyone was there, and they had a band going, and whenever there was a touchdown for Davis, the girls got up, they had a flag each, and it spelt out Wolves, you know, and they do their run backwards and forwards, showing, you know, and the band was going. It was rock and roll, man, and they really thrashed us. They absolutely thrashed us. But anyway, getting over that, it's been good. In chapter 3 of the book of 1 Corinthians, we open up a vista. And there's a lot of neat things that come up in here. I've got the article for this chapter. It's already up on rightdivision.com. And so you can go over that if you wish to review some of the extra things that's in there. But in chapter 1, we covered this whole business of the divisions, and he brings back again this whole idea of divisions in chapter 3. This is kind of a structural outline of what we saw in chapter 2. And you can see some neat things in how the correspondence works. You know, what Paul spoke, wisdom among the perfect. And then down here, the corresponding one, why Paul could not speak, carnal, babes, and milk. And of course, that's where we're carrying on from. But the structure is very instructive. If you look down here, right in the very middle here, the little a, things of God revealed by the Spirit, and then the corresponding one, things of the Spirit explained by spiritual means. And so, you know, if you want to get explanation, if you want to have a revelation of the Spirit, then of course you've got to understand that things will be explained by spiritual means. And if you try and get your understanding totally from the world about things of the Spirit, it's not going to happen. Look down here, B, not spirit of the world, the corresponding, not man's wisdom. So man's wisdom, spirit of the world, are lined up. There's a lot of instructions you can get from just looking at how the things put together. Now in chapter 3, and we'll just begin reading from verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." And, you know, when it says as unto spiritual, the word is pneumatikos, and it's in the dative. And here we have the fleshly, and here we have the babes. Pneumatikos is the spiritual, and sarkikos, this is the fleshly, and here, napios, that's the babes. You notice he says, babes in Christ. He doesn't deny that they're in the realm of Christ, but they're babes. I, brethren, could not speak. He was not empowered, he was not able, he was not in a position to speak unto them as spiritual, but as these carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk. He gave them milk to drink. Gala, galactos. If you look out at the Milky Way galaxy, right? The Milky Way galaxy. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. What's he saying? He's saying, you know, you weren't able to do it back then, and you're still in that state today. You know, isn't it a shame if you go away from a group and time's gone by and you go back to it, nothing's changed. What I mean is, in a bad sense, it's still the same nonsense going on. The same stuff. No development, no growth. Of course, as a teacher, it's always a disappointing thing to perhaps put the time into trying to teach something to a student, and then at the end of the course, you realize, uh-oh, nothing's happened here. Nothing's gone on. And what do you say? Are you going to blame yourself? Or are you going to say, well, I was a pathetic teacher. I wasn't able to communicate and help this person construct what they need to construct. I was not in a position to do that. Or whose fault is it? And sometimes it can be very soul-destroying. So you just do your best. That's all you can do. But here, what we've got is the situation where these Corinthians were babes in the past, and they're still babes now at the time of this writing. And Paul is disappointed about this, of course. Verse 3, he says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Look at this. Envying, strife, divisions. Envying comes from the same word that we use for being zealous. You can be zealous in a good way and zealous in a wrong way. Just look at this passage here, just for a little bit of comparison here. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 2. We'll read from verse 1 to get a bit more context. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Bingo! We're right into the book of Acts here, aren't we? We're right into the Acts time when Israel was first, and man, Israel's got its place, and Paul is going to sacrifice all to try and give them the advantage. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." Here they are, zealous. This is the same word that we find here in 1 Corinthians 3. But it's in a different context. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God," which is a good thing, "but not according to knowledge." Knowledge has its place then, doesn't it? If you use knowledge in the right way, you can mold your zeal. Now, when I was a young Christian man, I can tell you, I had a zeal of God, and it was definitely not according to knowledge. I definitely had the zeal, but it was not according to God's will for me. And I did all sorts of crazy stuff, man. I don't want to rehearse all the crazy stuff I did. But I did it. And I did it with the zeal of God. You know? And no one's going to stop me. And no one's going to put me down, because I'm doing this for God, you know? And we've all got to be instructed. You know, one of the problems we do have, though, as we get a little bit older, is we can let that zeal go by. There's nothing wrong with the right zeal. That zeal's good, but it's got to be according to knowledge. It's got to be used in the right way. It's got to be put in its right environment. And as time goes by, sometimes as we get a little bit older, we say, well, you know, that's for those other people to do. You know. that zeal is for someone else to do. Or we'll just pray about it and do nothing, right? Sometimes we say, well, let's just pray about it. And what that really means is, I'm not going to do a doggone thing, man. Let someone else worry about it. And we can still look kind of respectable as Christians. You know, let's just pray about it. There's nothing wrong with prayer. I'm not against prayer. But if God has given you clear instructions about how you should live in this age, then He expects you to do something. If it wasn't for Paul doing something, we wouldn't have this. Right? He'd just fold his hands and say, well, that's it, you know. Man, I've done enough. Let someone else do it. No, he went forward. He'd sacrifice his life. We need more sacrifice in our lives. Myself, I'm preaching to myself. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Here's some wrong division going on here. Some serious wrong division. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know, here is a division. These people are all ministers working during the book of Acts for the selfsame purpose. Right? And yet, here there were groups forming. Evidently, there were people who were leaders, bringing people across to various factions. If you just go across to 1 Corinthians 4 and just go down to verse 6, look at this. And we'll get here too, but I want you to see this. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. And these things, and we'll find out more detail of some of these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. It seems fairly clear to me then that this transferal that Paul was doing was simply so that they could learn. But in reality, there was no, you know, there's no Paul really wanting to bring a faction to himself. There's no Apollos really wanting to bring a faction to himself. There were people within the congregation who stood up and said, come this way, man. Well, I'm of Apollos. No, I'm of Paul. And they're bringing in these divisions, which would be wrong to do. Now, here's some other features of this. Go back into Acts. Let's learn a little bit more about this. Because I think there's some real big time instruction here. This is Acts 18 and verse 1. Look at it. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. We're reading about the Corinthians. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. The Jews have been hounded, haven't they? They have been hounded through the years in different places. Historically, they've been hounded. The Nazis of recent years have hounded them and massacred them in all sorts of despicable, terrible ways. And now we're seeing even more sort of anti-Jew stuff occurring again through the Muslim world and institutionalized anti-Semitism in that way. But they have been hunted down in all sorts of ways. Now, in this case, these two, getting away from this Claudius, came to Corinth. And so they got contact with Paul. Come on down a little bit further in verse 18. It says, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Does this sound like someone that's put Israel aside and is not giving them an advantage? Look at these words. Just read this. He's shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. This is a Jewish thing, right? He's giving Israel the advantage. And he goes on down and he says in verse 19, the writer of the book of Acts, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into a synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Again, right through this whole chapter 18 and chapter 19, it's unmistakable the place of Israel. It's there. It's an important thing. And then it goes on in verse 20, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Keep the feast, the vow, synagogue. What is all this going on here for? Well, it's very plain, isn't it, that Israel was still first. God was dealing with Israel, and Paul was an instrument in dealing with Israel. And Corinth is in there. The very letter that we're reading here is tuned into this time period when Israel was first. Now, that's one of the things that I did not know. And in my zeal of God, without knowledge, I went about proclaiming all sorts of things that were wrong. And we need to be instructed about this. There are certain things happening in the book of Acts which have their place, and you've got no business bringing it into this age. And if you do, you're going to have problems. Serious problems. It goes on, and it says this in verse 23, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples, and a certain Jew named Apollos. Here comes Apollos. So we've got Priscilla and Aquila, all right? They're there, they've been with Paul, and with being with Paul, there is instruction, there is knowledge. Yeah, they can have a zeal, and they retain their zeal. Apollos, you're going to find, has a zeal, and he's going to perfect that zeal with knowledge. Right? And it's very instructive to see who brings the knowledge and the nature of the knowledge. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. We have eloquent people today. They are. Man, I listen to them. I think they are extremely eloquent people. They've got a mastery of the English language. They know how to communicate. But unfortunately, as was with Apollos, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Well, aren't there some parallels going on here? Aren't there some parallels that we see going on in this very age in which we find ourselves? There are plenty who are eloquent. I ain't one of them. All right? I'm not one of them. I can admit it. I'm not eloquent. But you know something? Though I be rude in speech, yet the Lord has given me some knowledge. And I can impart that. Not only dispensational knowledge concerning the right division of the scriptures, but as it happens, I can even teach a few other things of the world, like statistics and mathematics. And believe it or not, some of the students actually give me a few good feedbacks. I remember one thing that's still with me today, which encouraged me as a teacher, after some real downers. Have you had down days? Do you have down days? When everything seems to go wrong, man, everything goes wrong. Everything! The car doesn't work. Something goes wrong with the fridge. You got no money, and then you got another bill in the mail. And how are you going to pay it? I had one of those days. And where I was working in New Zealand was in the third floor of this building. And I had this dark, dingy office, small, tucked away in a cubbyhole. And I had one of those days, right? And I was fed up, man! I was fed up! And I walked out of this office, and I was walking down, and I just came to where the elevator is. And the elevator doors opened. Just as I was about to press the button to go down, take the elevator down, the doors opened, and this young lady came out. And she looked at me and stopped. And she said, "You're Wayne Stewart, aren't you?" Yes, that's me. 3 years ago, you taught me statistics.
introductory statistics. And now I'm going for a master's in statistics. And it's all because of you. It's all because of you. Now, you might say, well, why didn't you recognize this person? Well, because introductory statistics in this university is a massive course. There's about 400 to 500 students. There's just no way in the wide world you could know all your students. So she was one of those little heads in one of those, you know, aisles that just goes on forever and ever. And you're getting up there and doing your stuff, teaching statistics. I made a difference with this one person, and at just the right time, I got some feedback. Which turned the whole day right around, man. Just turned everything around, and I could breathe again. Well, the same sort of thing, I'm sure, can happen to you as well. And we preachers and teachers, we need to remember that we're doing a good work, we are making an effectual difference, even if we don't hear about it. What if it so happened I didn't hear from her? Would that mean that she, in fact, is not a reality? That she, in fact, didn't receive instruction, was not benefited? Of course she did. It would just mean you didn't hear about it. But the reality's still there, isn't it? The reality is there. Hey, we don't see the life that is to come for us, right? But it's there. It's truth. Truth is truth, whether you can prove it or not. It's there. God is real. He's real. God sent His Son. He did all this work. And furthermore, He's given us further instruction so that our zeal does not have to be without knowledge. That's what this church is all about, man. Bringing people on unto perfection. That's what this church is here for. Bringing people on unto perfection. Aren't you lucky? I'll use the human word, luck. Don't you feel fortunate at least to be here, to hear the wonderful truths of the Word of God rightly divided? Man, I am. I'm amazed at my own words when I hear the truths that I see in the Scriptures. I instruct myself. It's an amazing thing. Now look at this verse, down here at verse 18. And ask yourself, aren't there a lot of Apollos people around here in Oklahoma? I thank God that I'm in Oklahoma. Hey, that's a nice song. We heard it last night, didn't we, Sevi? You know the song about Oklahoma? I know it's a secular song, but hey, it's got some good stuff in there. Lawrence Welk and all that. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That's Northside. That's been the history of Northside. That's what Northside's about. It's about taking people on unto perfection. And notice, it's a Priscilla and Aquila. It's both male and female, used of God to instruct. Hey, man. You know, I was talking to Seppi when we were coming along Troctor Road. Troctor Road is just a little country road going north, and on the left there was just a little sign, it was about this big, advertising a church. And you know, I was just saying, it's only a small ad. It's only a small ad. But you can't help but notice it. It's there. It's there. You know, that's the sort of stuff I reckon we could do. How about putting outside our place a little sign, a little notice, something, and with a little address, rightdivision.com, and some nice catchy phrase that they may be instructed by. And say, hey, yeah, I better check that site out, man. If each one of us do it, hey, Priscilla and Aquila, man, off we go. Get them into it. Look what it says here. It says, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting disciples to receive him. Receive him. He's been brought up to a better speed. Who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Helped them much who had believed by grace. Oh yeah, so he's now, after he's instructed, so he goes out and he uses his zeal and the gifts that he had. He was eloquent, and now he's using it in a really mighty way. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures
that Jesus was Christ. When it says publicly, boy, does that bring back memories of myself. I mean, I did some crazy stuff on the street corners. You know, getting up on a, putting yourself up on top of something and putting a gown on and acting like some religious guy. And you know. Anyway, all these things, did it publicly by the scriptures showing Jesus was Messiah, was the Christ. That's it, man. Bring that truth out. Messiah, why? What's he talking about, that Jesus was Messiah? Because, my friends, Israel was first. Carrying right on. Chapter 19, look at it, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Unto John's baptism. Now, Apollos only knew John's baptism. Priscilla and Aquila had been with Paul, and they in turn, after learning from Paul, took Apollos further. Now, what's Paul going to do? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. There it is, man. All you can see and hear is perfection after perfection, right? But it has a context. So here, right, here's the book of Acts. It has a beginning, it has an end. And here we've been reading in chapter 18 and chapter 19. And what do we find? We find all sorts of perfection going on. We see Aquila and Priscilla escaping the condemnation of Claudius and the persecution. And then they are instructed. And then they are used of God. So here's Aquila and Priscilla. And that, what do? They perfect Apollos. And what does Apollos do? He then, knowing only John's baptism, all right, he's perfected, and then he perfects. And then what we find in chapter 19, what is Paul doing? He says, oh, they only know John's baptism, they don't know about any other baptism. And what does he do? He then perfects again. Perfection, my friends. Ministries of perfection. That's what we're about, man. But here's the rub. Here's where the rubber hits the road, man. The book of Acts ends. It comes to an end. And here, at 28:28, we have the salvation of God sent to the Gentiles, and then a new revelation is given to Paul. So, what I must ask then is, what is the nature of the perfection here? Here's certainly a context of perfection here in the book of Acts, where Israel was first, where Paul's taking a vow, where he's keeping the feasts and he's doing all these things and he's going to the synagogue and he's doing all these things. And after they reject all that message, after they reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when people are speaking in tongues and prophesying, they reject all that, there is a context. Here Paul is given a fresh revelation. So now I must ask, what is the nature of the perfection for today? And Paul says this, does he not? In Ephesians 4, verse 5, chapter 4 is the practical section. Chapters 1 through 3, that's the doctrinal stuff. Chapter 4 through 6, that's the practical section. And in the practical section, what does he say? For there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, man. This unity, the unity of the Spirit. One baptism. Why? Why? Why, sir, why should this be such an important practical thing? Because all this other stuff here is all shadows and types and pictures that Israel was to look at in their picture book and say, yeah, that's Christ, that's the Messiah. He's right. It is by grace. Look at these Gentile dogs. They're saved because they've got obvious manifestation of the Spirit of God. They're saved. Therefore, Jesus must be the Messiah. You see? That's what it's all about. Man. Zeal of God we can have, yes, but it better be according to knowledge.
Otherwise, all we're going to end up is it's envying, strifes, and divisions. You see, there are people who say that back here, Peter and Paul had foundationally different ministries.
Which I think is going to be real problematic. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. Let's have a look at this.
You get what I'm trying to get at here? People today need to understand that the Bible is not a buffet meal, although I love buffet meals. Why do I like buffet meals? Because I like stuffing myself with all sorts of food.
But the trouble with buffet meals is that it's all according to your desire, not according to what's necessarily good for you. And you can give way to your flesh and just say, man, it's endless here. I want to get all of those. You know? I like that stuff over there. I know it's bad for me, and I know it's going to increase the girth around my midsection, but man, I like it. And you can give way, right? You'll give way. So what you've got to do, my friends, is you've got to look what's good for you. You've got to allow God to give you food in season. No snacking around mealtimes. Mealtimes, that's when you eat, and the meal should be good for you. I'm preaching to myself, right? Okay. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3, and it says this in verse number 5, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. This is the unity of action. Yeah, okay. I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. They're working together. Look at this. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They're one. Well, what's that? That's Paul and Apollos. There are people who are trying to make divisions and saying, oh, that Paul and Peter and Paul and Apollos, they have fundamentally different ministries. Can't be. How could that be? How could it be that Peter and Paul have foundationally and fundamentally different ministries in terms of the content of the gospel they're preaching if they were one, if they were acting together in one? Paul says, if an angel from heaven preaches some other gospel to you, let him be accursed. And he says it twice, so you get it. How can you get one person who's preaching a message and is accursed and being with another person who's preaching a different message is not a curse, be one? How can that be? It cannot be. So there's a lot of things in here that you can get. It says in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So here is the possibility of rewards. Rewards, my friend.
In the Bible, and this is a big lesson, I think, a fundamental one, and that is the difference between a gift and a reward. And this is systematic through the Scriptures. And the salvation is a gift. Salvation, meaning, when I say salvation, I mean salvation to eternal life. It's a gift. Rewards are very different. Rewards are based on work, right? Work that you perform, and you could fail at your work and you can lose out on your reward, but it doesn't mean to say that you're going to miss out on your salvation to eternal life. Look, man, I would be quite happy to be picking up trash in heaven, but be in heaven, then something else that we won't want to mention right now.
Look down here in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Now, we, Paul and Sosthenes, we are laborers together with God. Ye, that's the Corinthians, are God's husbandry. That's the field which God is working as someone that's interested in agriculture. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise, sophos, hos, sophos.
He is an architectone. He is the master architect. Paul. That's Paul. He says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Who laid the foundation? Paul laid the foundation. There are some remarkable things that Paul was used with. And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he built. The foundation is there, now how are you going to build? So it is today, right? How are you going to build today, man? On what foundation are you going to build? And how are you going to build? On what basis are you going to build? What is the knowledge that you have to use to build correctly? There is a building code, is there not? There is a building code for having a structure, and the foundations are important. It goes on and it says this, Father foundation, verse 11, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that is laid. It was laid by Paul, and it was present there for the Corinthians to build on. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, I like that. Do you like gold? Gold's a pretty stuff, isn't it? It's very pretty to look at. And some people put it in their teeth, they wear it, and jewelry and all the rest of it. Silver, precious stones. Well, that's one group. I like it. Wood, hay, stubble. Now, you can see that's another group of three, which is not quite so savory. The wood, the hay, and the stubble burn. The other stuff will purify, but the last group burns up. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. There's a day coming when it shall happen. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So here's a promise coming, right? There is definitely going to be this judgment. See what the work's like. You've been building. All of us are building in some way. If any man's work abide which he built, hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. There's the reward based upon your work. It's coming. And this is specifically written during the book of Acts, and we'll find next time I'll go to the prison epistles to see that, yes, this is the general truth, that there is going to be a time when there will be rewards given out for us. And it says in verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, what does abide mean? It means remain. Which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss, that means you're gone to hell. You've had it. No, it doesn't say that. Keep reading. It does not say that. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Looks like this doctrine that I'm talking about is kept intact, is it not? This doctrine that I'm talking about is intact. In fact, it's built up in these passages. Because it says that even if your work here is wood, hay, and stubble, and someone gets a cigarette lighter and goes tunk, and it goes woof, and it's gone, the scriptures say, yet he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Why? Because Christ's cross work was effectual and complete and done, and you're saved by God's grace. Grace you're saved by. Right? Not by your works. And this is the beauty of biblical Christianity, right? This is the difference between the man's religion. There's only two religions. Do and done. Do and done. Man's religion will say, well, this is what you got to do, man. You've got to be a goody, 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 goody. And you better not do that thing over there. And if you stop yourself from doing this, then you might make it! You might make it! And if you kiss my ring, that'll give you real big brownie points. Right? And if you get real religious, you're gonna get there. Hopefully. You might have to go into some little, you know, tank for a while. Purgatory. And if you stay there for a while, you might burn off a bit of your sin. And then finally, you just might make it. You might make it! You might make it! But what does the faith which says it's done, it's finished, it says, yet he shall be saved, yet as so by fire. Right? he shall be saved. Yet as by fire. Why?
Because it's by grace. Cool, man. That's pretty cool stuff. Here. It says this, down in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now notice the plurals. Here's another reason why I like the King James Bible, and why I think King James Bible is the book you should be using in English.
Look at the ye, you, yours. All these pronouns with the Y in the front, they're all plurals.
They're all plurals. So, when it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, those are all plurals there. So this is talking about the Corinthians as a group. As a group. I didn't realize that. When I first got saved and I read that, I made that one person. So, know ye not that ye are the Spirit, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. I took that as being one person. And I think a lot of people still do, but it's not saying that. And it says, if any man defile the temple of God, defile the temple of God. What is that talking about? Is that meaning defiling this body? No, it's not. It's talking about the temple, that's the group. The group. Him shall God destroy. What? For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Perfectly consistent pronouns teaching you what's going on. Right? Well, this sounds pretty aggressive, don't you think? This is a property of the book of Acts. When God is dealing with Israel, man, you'll find he doesn't mess around. Yeah, there's grace here, salvation by grace. Yeah, but after that it's all work, and if you mess up, you get killed. If you partake of the Lord's Supper in an inappropriate manner, guess what happens to you? Yeah, you'll get sick, and some of you will be killed. Killed! You come in with factions and try and destroy the unity of the temple, that is, all the people there, the assembly, you try and destroy, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be destroyed. That's pretty mean stuff, isn't it? It's not quite what we observe today. I don't observe these things happening today. Why don't I observe these things happening today? Because the age has moved on, man. Rock and roll. It's moved on. We've got something new explained to us. And we can have a zeal of God according to knowledge and not be tripped up by Apollos, who knew only the baptism of John, who comes with a very eloquent speech, but not quite with the knowledge. Cool? Okay, we'll finish there because I'm out of time. Let us pray. Our God, we pray that you'd bless this message to us, Lord, and that we would be encouraged from the Scriptures. We pray, Lord, that we'd use the opportunities that you give to us as the doors open, Lord, in front of us, that we would walk through them. And Lord, at times that we need to knock on the door, and that not to make excuses, Lord, but to be used of thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.